Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go together into the inner place, into the holy of holies. Let's receive them.
This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back to our broadcast program tonight. And we're doing part four. This is going to be part four of our a discussion about salvation and discipleship and how, and does it matter? You know, it's about disciples, it's about salvation, it's about being a disciple of Christ. So we're going to be talking about that today and reference it and see where you are for every man, every Father out there, every believer out there. Are you a disciple of Christ? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Or do you see him as your Savior? Or have you not been a disciple to understand who you are in Christ, what God has saved you unto? And it's a lot to it. But we have to understand, are we disciples of Christ? Are we following his commandments? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And are we living that out as men of God, as husbands and fathers and sons? And that begins the foundation of our faith. And are we saved? We're saved to be disciples. The Great Commission calls us to go into all the nation and make disciples. So where we are at. So tonight we're going to talk about that. Hopefully it just encourages someone out there. And just to look at your salvation, look at your life. Look at, are you just a convert or are you a disciple? And are you saved? And does discipleship tie into our salvation? Because we ought to produce fruits. We ought to be epistles seen of men. So are we living out the word of God in our everyday life? Amen? Amen. I'm going to start today with prayer, and then I just want to talk about the discipline of relationships and importance of what God, again, God has created us for relationship with him and with those around us. But first, let's open with prayer. Lord God, I say thank you right now. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for the grace in my life, oh God. I thank you for the grace and wisdom in the lives of the men that are on this program that are listening in, who've called in, God. I thank you for my brother who's going to join us tonight, oh God, as our guest. He's going to share his wisdom and insight today, God. Father, I thank you, God, for all those leaders in the churches, oh God, in the midst of what's going on here in the world, with the COVID-19 here locally in America and around the world. The churches are struggling. Some churches have been under persecution. There's a lot going on, but we know, God, that you are still God and you are sovereign in all these things. None of the things, none of the tests, and none of the trials are new to you, Lord God. But, God, it is perfecting your people. It is testing your people. So, Father, we just say thank you right now, God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue, oh God, to cover your church. Continue to strengthen and encourage leaders, O God, those who might be struggling in the midst of ministry, O God. God, give them peace, give them wisdom, give them direction and guidance, Lord God. Father, we lift up every husband, father, and son today, O God. Father, there's a purpose for every man in his life, O God, and you have created him for that purpose. Today, I pray, God, that they be illuminated, that you start to see who you are. First, who your son, Jesus Christ, is, and accept him, and then know that there's a purpose for their life, to glorify him. So, Father, continue to strengthen us, O God. Bless our families, our wives, our children, those connected to us by spirit and by blood, and those in our circle of influence, Lord God, we say thank you right now. Touch the lives of your people. Encourage your church, O God, in the midst of it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, tonight I want to start off with something I want to read to you from one of the books that we recommended on our summer reading list. It's been a while now. But it's The 10 Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes. That's Kent Hughes, H-U-G-H-E, 10 Disciplines of a Godly Man. And one of the disciplines we're going to talk about is relationship tonight as an opening tidbit, as an appetizer. To be all God wants you to be, put some holy sweat into your relationships. If you're married, you need to live out Ephesians 5, 25 to 31. Husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. For those who are fathers, God provides a workout in one sentence. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and 4. Relationships are not optional. According to Hebrews 10 and 25, they enable us to develop into what God wants us to be and most effectively learn and live God's truth. Again, any brother out there, anyone who's struggling with being a long-range Christian, is not what God called you to be. He's called us into relationship with one another and with him through his son, Jesus Christ. So it's all about relationships. And these are some of the disciplines as men we need to start to apply to our lives. Amen. So I encourage you, brothers, wherever your relationships are, as husbands, fathers, and as sons, bring Christ into your relationship, that it might prosper, that it might be transformed. It might be, you know, sometimes we have to reconcile with others. We have to repent and go back and reconcile relationships. But do that, and do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, because God has created you for it to be a reconciler unto men. Amen? Amen. Amen. Deacon Anthony, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. Praise the Lord. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, brother. Thank you for joining us, man. I appreciate you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, bro, tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of things. We're going to be bouncing some things around. We're going to whatever, chop it up, bounce it around, whatever we want to use. But we just want to encourage the brothers out there. And we're talking about salvation, you know, what salvation is and what discipleship is. And what did Jesus say about it? Because, again, it's the Word of God who calls us to the Word of God is our blueprint. It's our directions. It's our foundation of who we are in Christ. It's all the Word.
Amen.
This is why God gave us the 66 books, and we have to as believers, we have to start to dwell and dig deep into those things and find out who we are, who we're supposed to be, and who we're going to be. Amen?
Amen.
So let me start the conversation. I'm going to start with it, bro. Salvation. There's two things. We got salvation is the act of believing. You know, we take the invitation that Jesus gave
Amen.
Us. In Matthew chapter number 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me and believe. And that's where
mm-hmm.
I believe, that's where it all starts. We all started there at one time. We had to believe. We heard the gospel. We heard preaching.
Amen.
But the salvation starts when we believe. And in Matthew 16, Matthew chapter 16, in verses 21 and 24, it talks about salvation. Well, salvation is about the cross of Christ, and then discipleship is about our cross or my cross and how I'm going to bear my cross. What do you say there, brother, when we talk about salvation and then moving into what discipleship is?
Well, you know, it's the key point about salvation and discipleship and that transition also goes with an increase of faith. you know, the more you learn about Jesus Christ and the closer you grow in relationship with him, the more that you start to move to a position where you're mature in Jesus Christ and you can actually live out the gospel. It's one thing to confess the gospel and believe, but it's another thing to live the gospel and display, which is part of what you would say being a disciple is showing, and not only showing, but evangelizing and not being afraid to share with others what God has brought you through as a testimony. I think one of the things about being a disciple or the transition of salvation is something happened where a seed was planted in our hearts and we wanted to change. And in that changing process, it came a lot of trials and, you know, a lot of temptations came up. And some things we actually indulged in. Truth be told, when I was saved, I wasn't saved and I didn't do anything else that I know wasn't pleasing to God, because that would be a lie. However, the shortcomings actually taught me something and built the testimony of faith. And it's like, you know, once you have a made up mind to totally surrender and serve God, it really comes with a lot of our trials and tribulations. From being saved, it's like, okay, now that you're saved, you will go through trials and tribulations to make you stronger disciples. And during those times of struggle and those times of hardships, we have to be able to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and what God made a way of escape for us so that we can be mature in Jesus Christ. You know, what's compelling to me is that the enemy doesn't change his tricks. He knows the things that tempt me, and he knows the things that gets my attention. So the what we call habitual sin, even in being born again, and those are the struggles where a person would think, well, I'm saved just because, I keep sinning or I keep making mistakes, I keep missing the mark, but I'm not saved. But see, they don't realize that God is purging those things out of your system so that you will walk away from that and repent. It's a lot of things in a lot of areas in a lot of believers' lives, especially when you're first born again. And, you know, it's God actually perfecting you and maturing you in him. He knows that you will surrender with your whole heart, you know, because a lot of people looked at their life and I know for me, I looked at my life and I saw where I was. And I saw that it wasn't right, but it didn't mean that I changed immediately. Not saying God can't change the things that I was doing. But the thing is that my appetite didn't change overnight. I still desired to do the things that was pleasing to my flesh. So it was a working process, and it was a maturing factor. And for me to actually, you know, mature in Christ, I had to go through those trials multiple times. I mean, one of my biggest struggles, and I could be transparent because we all talking, you know, over the airways to men. One of my biggest struggles was women. And the thing is with women, I mean, you know, a lot of things come after that, you know, temptations with women, you know, pornography and, you know, masturbation, a lot of things came with that. But the thing is that the more I had realized and the closer that I got to Jesus Christ and the more that I actually heard the word, I repented of that. And I understood because, you know, what the word of God would say about those type of things and what happens to the body because of those type of things actually brought me closer to Jesus Christ to repent of those things, because it wasn't a such a thing of where I just wanted inwardly my heart to be changed, but outwardly as if I didn't want to express to people the glory of God in my life. And it really grieved me a lot of times where, you know, when I was out there in the world and fornicating and all of that stuff, it really grieved me, and I didn't understand why I felt so bad about the things that felt so good to my body. However, I felt so bad because that's where the change takes place. The Holy Spirit is on the inside making it known that this is grieving God. So I changed my ways based on that and based on, you know, the conviction and the things that God, you know, the chastisement and the things I couldn't get right in my life because of the things that beset me. But I understood the closer that I got to God, I denied this flesh. And I think, you know, as being disciples or that transition is really hard, it's an increase in faith. And it's an increase in denial. And it's an increase of trusting and actually believing what God has said about you and the promises that he's made to you that he will fulfill. So it's a lot that goes on with that. And the transition is not easy. it is not an easy transition to become a disciple. One of the things that was compelling to me that the Holy Spirit shared with me was a lot of people don't have what you would call spiritual ambition. A lot of people are okay with just being saved. Because if being saved is just believing that I could take this salvation and use it and misuse it to my advantage to really please the flesh. But the more you do that, the more it is where you won't trust God in a lot of things. And you'll try to work out your own salvation with your own strength. And the enemy plays on people's mind that are saved. He plays on our minds all the time, thinking that we aren't saved, that it takes works to be saved. And that's a lot of what people are thinking now because of the pandemic. It feared and scared a lot of folks to enter salvation to the point where they say, okay, well, at least I'm saved now, you know, because I believe now. I believe now. You know, I believe, but as soon as them bars and them clubs and stuff open back up, I'm back in the building. You know, I'm saved now.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
Now I can take Jesus with me on this journey. And that's the thing. It's like, well, Jesus, you know, and that's the thought process for a lot of people who become saved. They think like, okay, well, I could just take Jesus with me. You know, I got Jesus now. You know, like he's in my pocket and like I'm safe now, so taking this drink and drinking excessively to the point where I want to drive a car. Well, I got Jesus now, so Jesus is going to protect me. Well, the thing is that that's where, you know, and that's because tradition, and not the word of God, what it teaches us, but tradition has taught us that as long as you have Jesus Christ, you're saved. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. There is some repentance and there is some things that God doesn't want you to continue to practice because he knows that it won't just necessarily just kill the body, but you may actually hinder somebody else's potential to be saved by how we act. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, that transition is so hard because it's, you know, we're born in the sin and shaped in iniquity. And I've been practicing sin for however many years because before the seed of righteousness was planted in my heart. And it's really hard to purge those things overnight. And, you know, I'm very transparent and very real about that because, you know, God had to deal with me as I continued in this journey with him. So the salvation part is the repentance and having a repented heart and knowing the things that you're doing is not right and not pleasing to God. And you did want to change in your life. And whoever it is that is out there that is struggling between maybe, you know, like I was, maybe between women or being in the streets and making that decision and saying, well, I love it over there. I'm not really feeling church or something like that because I used to put that out there a lot. Well, I ain't really feeling church. But, see, it's not about a feeling. If that was the case, everybody would be saved on a feeling. A lot of people is saved in error because of understanding. So it's just one thing about understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us and actually not walking out of here trying to prove that we are believers to people. And we get that a whole lot. There are people who teach that you have to prove that you're worthy of salvation, but there's nothing that you could do in this fleshly body to please God and to earn salvation because it's not an earned thing. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So it's a thing about self-denial. It's a thing about, you know, understanding what was done for you, why he did it for you, and to understand his love actually brings power and allows the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. What do you think about that, Dee?
Amen. So, you know, you touched on a lot there, brother. You touched on a lot there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because when we talk about discipleship, you know, we talked about what it means to we decide to follow. You know, I'm trying to think here. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's what Jesus is calling us, is called to follow. And I think some of the things you're saying, I'm going to come back to those. Amen. Because I think what it is, you're right. I think it's you said it's tradition. I just call it, it's how the church, it's how churches and our ministries handle salvation. They make it easy. They don't teach the discipleship part. They teach, you know, they teach the simple of just believe and just this and just. And that's not how the gospel was. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not how Paul reached, went, and did the missionary journeys. That's not the message of the gospel they took out there. And I think that's where our traditions get us caught up. It's just we tell people just do this, just
Amen.
Believe, just and but they don't. But we don't tell them about the discipleship part. And some folk, like you said, you know, you talked about spiritual ambition. Some people are never pushed to it. You know, we're not going to call no names, brother, but how many people
right.
you know, they got saved, quote, unquote, okay, we're going to go with the sinner prayer. We're going to make that because everybody that's listening knows about that. That whole,
right.
wherever that came from, there's a history to that, but we ain't going to talk about that right now. But we let people feel that they're saved because of the sinner prayer, not because of what Jesus did. And do they believe what God said? Because God called you a sinner because he sent his son. So do you believe God? Do you believe what God
Amen.
Says you are? And he says you're a sinner mm-hmm. without Christ. And he says
Amen.
That you have to put your faith in Christ. But how are people putting their faith in Christ if they don't know Christ? You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I think the discipleship part to me is where it comes first. Do we tell people, Jesus said, again, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross.
Mm.
That should be the first verse any convert should hear. And that should be the teaching verse. I'm just saying. That's one of many. But that to me is, that's in Matthew. So it's right there in the beginning, first gospel, for you know what I'm saying. But, you know, but again, at some
right.
point, every man's responsible for his own walk. And that's where the other part of discipleship is when you talked about that spiritual ambition to grow. You know, do we want to know more about Christ? Or are we satisfied with the elementary? No matter where you heard, whatever elementary, because, you know, people, again, with the way we do it in tradition now with the sinner prayer and thing, it wasn't, I'll just say this, for some folk don't realize it wasn't always that way. You know, I was reading recently
mm-hmm.
about, like, back in the 50s, around the 50s, 40s. It was like, it used to be, if someone wanted to become a disciple of Christ, they had to stay after the service. It wasn't at the end of the service. It was,
mm-hmm.
we call people to be disciples of Christ, to believe Christ. We need you to step over here and stay. And then it was someone came and taught and gave them the full unadulterated gospel. You know, and but we don't do that now,
wow.
and again, we keep it as it's free. There's no commitment. There's no real discipling of making people understand what they believe
right.
in. You know, and that's
yeah.
where I think where we have the problem from even the fact that we distinguish between salvation and discipleship, where Scripture doesn't distinguish the two. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
When people came,
Amen.
When Paul, when Peter preached, the people came unto the church and they believed what Peter was preaching, and they believed in Christ. They believed the Christ that
Amen.
Jesus, that Paul, Peter was preaching, and they came to faith and believed. And then they
hmm.
the Bible says they became the church grew. So I think that's
Amen.
Where a lot of it is. Some of it's on us as where we are now as the church, those of us who are in the church and how we present and how we evangelize. But then again, you know, at some point, like you said, it moves from elementary, it moves from the milk to the meat, and you have to have that
mm-hmm.
desire because it's all a process. It's believe, repent, because
mm-hmm.
we don't talk about repentance in the sinner's prayer. You know,
wow.
it depends on different versions of it, but it is repentance,
huh.
and then there's a call to discipleship, because again, like
okay.
you said, it's a free gift, and we're receiving that free gift of eternal life from Christ. But now. What is Jesus expecting from us? He's expecting a life. He's expecting now for us to give our life, our body, a gift to him. Like it says in Romans, Romans 12:12-1. You know, he talked about giving your body a living sacrifice. And that's where it kicks in. And like you said, people want to take Jesus. They got Jesus in their pocket.
Amen.
Now they're going to roll with it, but they're not giving their lives to Christ, you know? And I think that's where the discipleship piece is missing in folk. And again, I think it's important that today, even in the midst of this conversation that we're talking about, that people understand God wants Jesus wants your life. God wants you. He wants your whole life. He wants all of you. This is what he died for. He didn't die for you just for a simple salvation with no commitment, with no change, you know, with no renewing of the mind, renewing of the heart. There's so many scriptures that just come to me about you're not the same creature that you were before. And if you and if you don't see change in yourself, as you look as a man, as you look in the mirror, and you don't see nothing change about your heart, how you think, how you treat people, how you know, if you don't see no change in yourself, then why do you think people around you are going to see a change in you? And then that's where your insecurity, like you said, the enemy now is using all this stuff because, you know, he's gonna test you in all your weaknesses because you haven't surrendered yourself unto Christ. So now the devil says, I ain't worried about you because I still got you got Jesus in your back pocket, but I still got your front pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know
wow.
Because I can move on you at any time, and I know I'm going to pull you off. And like you said, bro, you shared it in your transparency. And, you know, it's the same thing that when I went through. It seemed like I just was doing the same thing because it wasn't – because sometimes, again, in our – we thought in our expectation, again, on how the gospel was preached to us, that it was going to be a miracle working moment, and it was going to be instantaneous, supernatural – And you're still going to struggle with life. You're still going to struggle with life, but you start to, as a disciple, you start to believe God. You start to think like God. You understand who God is. And I think the problem with moving people from salvation to discipleship, there's a gap there, a chasm, because we don't tie together in the church, in the body of Christ. It's one thing. It's the same thing. In the scriptures, it's the same thing. You know, but here in the culture, somehow we separated it. So it's again, it's about being, it's giving our life to Christ. I just got my scripture here. It's Romans 12:1. It says, "Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, just for the salvation." Not for a blessing, not for increase, not for prosperity, not for a car, not even heal you. But he said, it's acceptable, it's your reasonable service for the salvation. And I think also when we talk about salvation, in the midst of it, we don't tell people, what are you being saved from? What are you fleeing from? What is God pulling you out of? And we don't talk about the wrath of God also. Because there's a wrath, there's a reason that Christ came, and why we all are destined before Christ and before salvation, we all were destined for hell, of the wrath and the punishment of God. And to understand that it's not, you know, I think we're a little bit past that now. We realize hell is not a party, and the devil ain't running things down there. Hopefully, we pass that. So when we go and talk to people about hell, we talk about the hell in Scripture, how Jesus describes hell, so that people understand. Yeah. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, again, the salvation part is about putting our faith in Christ for eternal life. And for every man out there, if your faith, because that's your foundation, you have to understand that Jesus Christ, faith in him, gives you eternal life and saves you from the punishment of God. And we talk about the God from Genesis 1 through 6 who created everything. We talk about the same God that destroyed everything in the flood. So you're being saved from that punishment. You know, Genesis, there's a lot of gospel in Genesis. Because remember, there was only 8 souls that survived the flood. So don't think there is no consequences for sin, disobedience, and not in unbelief. I'm gonna leave it right there. But again, you know, we're talking about salvation and we're talking about discipleship. Amen. So now let's talk about the importance of what, like you said, that spiritual ambition. How do we get the brothers to understand that the commitment to obey Christ, and where does that come from? Is that something in us? Is that something from the external? We have to be encouraged along that way, or what do you say, sir?
Well, I think that comes with a lot of fundamental teaching, really. And it's because a lot of people have what you would say spiritual illiteracy, to the point where they put their flesh inside of spiritual activity, and the flesh cannot really discern what is the spirit. You know, so it's like this, okay? We was talking earlier about, you know, virtual learning and everything like that, and how the children really aren't learning anything. Well, it's kind of like on the set. Well, you know, normally the traditional learning would be everybody starts at a different level. But if you're only coming in the building called church only on Sunday, you really can't get taught anything. Because that would be, I guess you could say, your ritual activity. You do it, you save, you do what you do on Sunday, and you go live this rambunctious life on Monday. You know, it's like you know, you have no more spiritual ambition or no more, you know, desire to hear the word and to grow and to, you know, and it really comes with how strong is your testimony. You know, one thing about it is that when you read in Revelations where it says, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the thing is that, you know, your testimony has to be so strong to overcome the enemy in a lot of things so that you don't get drafted and pulled back into the sinful lifestyle that you came out of. Just like you were saying, what are you running from? You know, and a lot of people that give us this, you know, personification and say, hey, I grew up in the church, you know, so what are they running from? But, you know, you know, a lot of times, and it's not to say that, you know, that they're not saved or anything like that. I don't know their relationships with Jesus Christ, and I never would condemn anybody for their relationship or their starting point or the things that they go through. But here's the thing. If I have spiritual illiteracy and I haven't been taught anything, and Pastor said it, talked about the watchman this Sunday, and how the watchman is responsible, or the preachers and pastors are responsible for the activity of the saints or God's children. So if you learn wrong, you'll live wrong. If you, you know, understand wrong, you'll act wrong. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, if you don't understand the gospel, you can't possibly live it. You know, it's just one of the, I mean, you can't sit here and say that you understand the gospel and what was done for you and then go out and represent Jesus Christ. You can't represent
something.
Well,
that's what I'm saying,
bro. Understand.
That's exactly. We make salvation too easy, too simple.
Yeah.
We let people think that they it's not going to cost them nothing, that there's not a requirement to it. You know, we say the free gift, and we think we emphasize the free gift, and it's how you say it. It's the total gospel. It's the full gospel. And I don't think
Amen.
We're giving people the full gospel. We're giving them the attractive part of it. We're not telling them about the sacrifice. We're not talking about this. Again, it goes back to Scripture, denying themselves, a living sacrifice.
Amen.
We don't tell them that. We tell them,
Amen.
Say such and such, such and such, and such and such, and then we send them on their way. We don't even in a temporal realm, we don't hold them accountable. And like you said, we don't know because, you know, it's hard because, like you say, we don't know. But you confess something, now I have expectation on you. It's like anything else, bro. I got this for you, bro. You had a wedding, you went and got married. You got everything in marriage. So now I have an expectation for who you're going to be. I have the expectation you're a husband now. So there's some things I don't expect to see you doing. I don't expect you to do certain things. I expect you to act a different way, correct?
Right.
So
if
we go backwards, now we take that same example and go, you said you're a Christian. Now I see you. I don't judge your salvation, but now I want to see you start to live out the word. And how do you live out the word if you're not in the word, like you were saying? With their spiritually, how can they live out something they don't study and study to apply. The word says study to show ourselves approved. That you Amen. Are, you in the word. You're getting, now you're starting to, you're carrying yourself, you're doing different because you're in the word and you're seeing where you're falling short in your flesh. You know, the Bible
Amen.
Said, I'm saying is coming. The Bible said that the law doesn't save. The law shows us where our sins are. Same thing
yeah.
in New Testament. If you read the epistles, and you, it's going to show you what you're doing wrong. It's going to show you
Amen.
This is not pleasing to God. It tells you that, but if you're never in that, and you don't look to see where you're at, and again, hold ourselves to the word. That's what I always say. We as Christian men, and I'll say this as a brother, you never compare ourselves to each other. I don't compare myself to pastor. I don't compare myself to other brothers, the bishop, archbishop, I don't, whatever, whoever it is. I don't compare myself to them. I compare myself to the word of God and how I
Amen.
Now am submitted unto it and applying it and growing in it and growing in my understanding of it. And every man, that should be his goal. Because each of us is going to stand before Christ, and we're going to be held accountable. Of what kind of believer were we? Were we disciples of His? Did He know us?
Amen.
I mean, all these again. These are all the scriptures that people who confess to be Christ, but they don't never get the. They don't. They, you know what I'm saying? They don't get locked in on
Amen.
They don't have like. I like your word you use, brother. You use that spiritual ambition. The ambition. I don't know if they you know they don't try, they don't seek, but before the pandemic, because I want to go because this is before the pandemic, folk weren't coming for whatever
yeah.
you see them on that whatever it was that day that Sunday that whatever within the prayer, but then they weren't following, they weren't producing fruit, they weren't being
Amen.
Rooted in ground. I mean, there's so many scriptures I can think of to my mind. The good soil, the bad, the seed, and the
yeah.
soil, all of that, and you see it manifest in people's lives, you know? And that's the way I'm saying it. That's what we're talking about, salvation, discipleship. Because the
Amen.
Word of God says they're what's the word I want to use, synonymous? They're like twins. You can't separate them because they're not separated in Scripture. We separate them, but they're not separated. So that's
yeah.
what we talk about
yeah.
tonight. That we have to encourage the brothers, because and again, as husbands and fathers, it has to start with us. If we're going to have a change in the church, if we're going to have a change in our homes and our family, it's got to start with us to understand. Because if we're not
Amen.
Being disciple, how do we expect anybody else around us to be moved to disciple? And how are we going to disciple others? Again, the Great Commission called the church to go into all the world and make disciples. But if I'm not
yeah.
one, how can I fulfill the Great Commission and I'm living in disobedience to Christ?
Mm. Amen.
I'm just saying.
Amen.
I compare my life to Scripture, not to Billy Graham, not to all the other great brothers. Where's my life and about the Scripture in my life? And that's what we have to always encourage. What do you say, bro?
See, you just hit the nail on the head. See, that's the thing. See, they'll say or give a sinner's prayer or whatever that prayer was, not for, you know, for your repentance, but it's what's comfortable to say. And then it's for membership. It's not necessarily for discipleship. So
ooh,
I think
ooh,
once
you... Wait. Let me write that down. I'm going to use that again, brother. Membership
like...
and not discipleship. I got you. All right. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
You're giving me a prayer to say to become a member. But what am I a member of? Am I a member of a group? Am I a member of just a church, a building church? Or am I a member of religion? Because, see, you know, practicing religion can become stressful.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people have that tendency to say, oh, well, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then they don't realize that they're saved from it and they can live really free from it if they yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, the thing is, you know, we're trying to fight carnally or to you know, to the spiritual temptation. Like, people think temptation is not spiritual, it's more carnal. But it's really when a thought actually takes place, a thought comes from something else. It's not because you were, you know, you could be at work thinking a thought, and you're like, where did that thought come from? I'm not even working on something like that. Where did this thought come from? So it came from somewhere to be manifest through the flesh. And why is it so important for me to indulge in something that is not pleasing to God? And see, so a lot of times with that temptation, you have to fight it spiritually. You can't fight it in a carnal way. A lot of people say, you know, make New Year's resolutions, and they'll say, okay, I'm not going to do this. And they'll say, I'm not going to do this no more. Lord, I'm not going to do this no more. I know this don't please you. I'm not going to do it. But when they say the word I, they put in glory on themselves and not really taking the focus off, and they're taking the focus off of Jesus Christ at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you that saved you from you. It is Jesus Christ who saved you from you. But you have a lot of spiritual, you know, illiteracy to understand, like, okay, well, now I'm out in this world and I'm functioning in this world. And how do I fight the things around me in this world? And a lot of teaching comes with that. And, you know, at that time of trouble, how do you acknowledge the way of escape for you if you're not taught? You know through your testimony the things that are not good for you. But the enemy doesn't stop tempting you in those areas of the things that you were delivered from or that the things you're saved or running from. He continues to do that even if you are saved. He didn't change. He knows your taste. He knows exactly what you like. And he'll say, oh, man, maybe this ain't going to hurt just a little bit. But see, as soon as a little bit it comes to, now it's ritually done all the time. And before you know it, now it's a part of your life again. You're like, how did this happen? And it was just a small thing at first. It may be a look. It may be a thought. It may be a taste. But the thing is, the enemy is not going to change those avenues to get you tempted. A person could be, you know, I'll tell you, I've never been, you know, hooked on alcohol or anything like that. It wasn't the thing that I was hooked to or addicted to. But for a person that was fighting something like that, and they knew the things that happened because of their addiction to alcohol, I'm just using that for an example. Sometimes you can't even watch a football game without them advertising something that you know that you don't even want to look at because they make it look so good. To the point where you're like, why did they show that commercial during this game? You know, like, I couldn't just ignore it. I mean, it's everywhere now. And the thing is that why is it everywhere? They think that it's really a carnal battle, and a lot of believers think that. And they try to fight it like that. They say, well, I'm just going to stay away from this. Well, I'm just going to stay away from this. And then before you know it, they read Leviticus, and then they say, okay, I'm going to stay away from meat. Now I'm going to stay away from shellfish. Now I'm going to stay away from this. I'm going to stay away from this. And, so they're trying to fight this thing in a different way and say, okay, Lord, if I stay away from this stuff, am I pleasing to you now? No. God says, do you trust me to keep you away from those things?
Exactly.
You see? So, you know, it's not us doing the work. See, and that's the problem. That is the biggest issue in that transition from salvation to discipleship. That's the biggest that's the biggest setback. It's like, okay, now I want to do work because the Bible said faith without works is dead. But the work of faith is believing on what God said he was going to do. Look.
But that's it. But the only reason is because we don't know what God said? Because we're not in the Word. I want every man to hear. It's about the Word of God. The Word of God is where we have to go to understand what Jesus has really done for you and how he has set you free. He's given you the truth. He's given you the gospel. He's telling you that now you are free from those things. You, like you said, bro, we ain't got to try to do better. We ain't got to try to behave. We've been set free from them. And that's where the whole, when we start with salvation, where we tell people to believe and have faith in Jesus Christ, this is what it means. He's paid the price for your sins, your past, and now by faith, he's taken your place. So he's taken the punishment for your past, but now you believe that he set you free from all the stuff, you know, from everything that was unpleasing to God. And now you may not know it. You're right. I mean, because you said something about the, you know, some churches and ministries or whatever, they got a bunch of do's and don'ts, all the way from cutting your head or wearing earrings and can't wear this and don't go here. That's not, you're set free because you are renewed in the inside because of Christ Jesus. And that's the part where if you don't believe that, do you really believe the gospel?
Amen.
And again, is that the gospel we're sharing with people, that you are truly
right.
set free? I mean, you know, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to, you have to believe. You have to believe the word. And if you're not believing the word, this, the, you know, I'm getting in trouble, bro, because, you know, I got no friends now. But if you don't believe the word of God, the sinner prayer is not going to, the sinner prayer is not, I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's a, it's a bump in the road or whatever it is. But if you don't believe who Jesus says he is, if
Amen.
You don't, if you now, if you have not been told or taught or shown or preached to about who Jesus said he is and what he's done for those who come to faith in him, it's gonna,
Amen.
It's not gonna, it's gonna be seed and it's not gonna fall on good ground.
That's right.
Because I think it all starts there, and that's where the thing stirred up in me, because I remember again. I want to be clear. I got saved through the sin of prayer in the basement of a church during I think if it was me, I remember it because I was told I need to remember when I got saved. No, I'm just kidding. but you know, it was the sin of prayer. And then you have expectations that something's going to happen, and when it doesn't happen, that's where a lot of people struggle, because they have an expectation that once they did that, somehow that was the saving moment. But then their life, first of all, their life, as a matter of fact, their life might not even, like you said, the enemy said, what? Okay, I'm not going to do nothing different. I had you before, and I'm going to put the same stuff in front of you and see what you do with it. Because if God saved you, if Jesus Christ really saved you and delivered you, because you came to faith to Him, then I'll just leave the same stuff out there and see if you pick it up. And what do we do?
Right.
We pick it up.
I
won't say we go back. We may not have never left it. We left it that hour on that Sunday, but you know, come Monday, whatever. But we say that because I believe every man at some point was there. You know, except for you brothers who were born and raised in the church, whatever. I don't know your experience. I can't talk about it. I wasn't there. I don't know. But for those of us who came out of something, we understand that I understand the struggles. And now looking back on it, there was a time, there was a point in this process where I say the light, the Holy Ghost, it's switched my heart, my mind, and like you said, and I love your word, brother, my spiritual ambition moved to now I want to know this God. And I'll say that a lot of it was because, again, it was because of some of the brothers who discipled me that I was around, because I stopped hanging around certain folk and started hanging with other folk, even in my insecurities. Even in my, you know, struggling and not getting it all right and not crossing all the T's and all that stuff and didn't have a jacket and a tie and whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
But it was brothers, it was a couple brothers who discipled me till I got to that point. And then your word, I'm going to give you like a dollar every time I use it. The spiritual ambition kicked in. So now you want to start to search the word for yourself and know to work it out. And
Amen.
Truth be told, it started with my marriage. Because the Bible said, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And, you know, man, and I wanted my marriage different. You know, we was already together 15 years. But then now in Christ, you know, come on. I didn't want it like everybody else, uncles, cousins, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? It could be different. I didn't want to be those. I've seen people that go through that. I didn't want that for me. And that was one of the things that the brother who's discipling me was talking about.
Amen.
His marriage, on how the transformation came once he came to faith and their relationship started to solidify. So, and every man out there, there's something in your life that you want to, you really want God to change and do in your life. That's where you have to go into the Word and start to seek Him and pursue Him. Flee from some stuff, but flee unto the pursuit of Christ. And it starts with the Word. It starts with the fellowship. It starts with relationships with those who are going to disciple you. And again, I now want to come back to the other side of the coin is the church. We have to start to seriously to disciple folk.
Amen.
And make discipleship a thing. I'm not the theological expert, but I understand what discipleship is because Jesus discipled 12 men who changed the world. He spoke into the life of a brother who was going out here killing Christians just because they was Christians and transformed him. So I'm just saying, we as men, we have to start to find that thing that's going to twist, that's going to move and encourage one another in the things of God. You know, but let me ask you this, bro. When we talk about the decision to commit to obey, that's another thing that every man has to search his own heart and mind about, the decision and how do we get to that point to commit and obey Christ, that we must, and then let me say this, what do you say to this, that it's an everyday thing, it's not a one-time thing. I understand, you know, well, our faith in Christ, that may be a moment, but then the discipleship, is that an everyday thing? Is that something we have to strive for every day? What do you say?
Amen. You know, it's what was interesting for me was I didn't want it to be fake. You know, I didn't want to fake this thing. I didn't want it to be something that I'm just doing just as an activity or to present myself to be somebody that I'm not in front of people. And I think one of the biggest struggles is obedience, you know. But if you know, like I get back to this learning thing, if you don't know what to obey, you're still lost. You know, so it's like I can't be rooted and grounded in the area. And how can the Word of God be a GPS on, you know, how to live and how to, you know, act and how to disciple people? Because I think one of the reasons for people kind of like, or pastors or churches kind of like getting away from discipleship is because it takes teaching to be a disciple, you know.
Oh my.
It takes, you know, so it's the fear of me having to teach an individual versus just to preach to an individual. You know, like preaching is just a way to make a person feel good about what's going on, and they, you know, they actually feel better, you know, about God. They feel they understand the blessings. Preaching is more so giving a person what they want to hear about God's blessings. But they don't understand that those blessings can't be given if you really truly don't believe. And, you know, believing, I mean, for me it was like believing is an action from the Word of God. Believing is not saying that I just believe in my mind that the sky is blue, okay? But believing is like knowing to the point where, okay, I know I'm saved because I believe. I believe by faith that I have salvation, okay, by what Jesus Christ done, and I believe in it to the point where I have faith in Him, and that's my hope. So the thing is moving from the mindset of saying, okay, do I believe enough to obey? Am I standing at the door and I won't go out, or am I afraid? And I think that's one of the things that a lot of us struggle with is fear, because now my reputation changed. You know, the things that I used to laugh at, I can't laugh at anymore because it's not funny now. You know, like certain jokes is not funny because of I know who it's really offending. So it's just more so putting it into a perspective of I really believe this thing is real. I believe I'm saved. not just believe on surface, but I believe in my heart that I'm saved. I believe that God died for me so that I can be with him. And that's why,
amen,
that's where deliverance comes in. That's where, you know, repentance come in and having the fruit of repentance like we were discussing one time. And it's moving from the point of just saying, I believe, such as with, you know, even demons believe, but they tremble. But the thing is that it's believing not put into action of obedience. And that's that if I don't obey what I believe, then it's a lie. A lot of people say they believe in Black Lives Matter, but they still at home. They ain't protesting.
Wait a minute, really? Well, thank God they not. Well, I mean, that's a whole nother show, bro, but go ahead. Stay home. Stay home. I'm just saying. Deacon Paul said, stay home. Never mind. Go ahead, bro.
You know, so a lot of people believe it, but the thing is that they're going to stay home. And see, that's the thing with us as being discipleship.
Lord.
See, I can't obey something that I really, really, truly don't believe.
Amen.
And see, people who have that struggle really believe in a way of saying that it's easier to believe and be quiet. It's easier to believe and sit down. It's not easy believing and then evangelizing and telling someone else about what Jesus Christ has done for you.
And
so,
living different, too. And it's a lot. It's more, because again, it's hard to live different in the culture so that people can see you. Like you said, you know, it's easy to be saved and just keep it to yourself. Don't tell nobody, you know. It's a personal, my personal relationship with God is my own business. I've heard that people, you know, they teach that. But again, it's hard to be able to stand up and be different, speak different. And like you said, you don't find the same things funny. We're not entertained by the same stuff. And we're not engaged in a lot of things because of what we believe and how we want to live and what the Word of God says about everything. And that's the challenge of being a disciple. That's what it really means. They were different. Remember, the 12 stood out. And Paul went into places. And Paul, again, I encourage every brother out there, start reading your Word, because Paul went on his missionary journeys. He stood out as different. He even stood out when he went to the synagogue. He went to places. He went to some cities, went to the synagogue first, and he stood out. So, and then he went to Gentile. He went to all these Gentile nations and cities. He was different and stood out. And his difference is what either drew people to him. He was either chastised with Paul. I mean, Peter and Peter and John. They were different, and we need to be different when it comes to where we are and how we think and how we talk. And that's where the Word of God comes. Are we willing to obey the commandments of Christ and be different? And that's where I think some of the disciples of our salvation. And again, this is all, and let me say this again as a disclaimer. Me and you and my brother here, Deacon Anthony, we cannot judge anyone's salvation. But, you know, like Pastor said, there's fruit. There's fruit we're going to see in the lives of people. You know, there's fruit. There's going to be fruit in how they let in. For the husbands, there's going to be fruit. For a father, there's going to be fruit. For to be a man of God, there's going to be fruit that we're looking for that expose who we are and are we disciples of his and are we obeying his command. You know, and
amen.
I think that obedience, like you said, that obedience part is that's what Christ is going to really, really, really judge us. You know, Scripture teaches. You know, we're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful," or he never knew us.
Mm.
And how is he going to know us? He's going to know us by our hearts, and that's the things we have to realize when it comes to salvation and discipleship. Bro, I'm going to give you the last word, and then you can close us out. And again, I appreciate you coming being part of this. We're talking about salvation, discipleship, the importance of it, and how the two intermingle or intertwine. That's the word I've been looking for all night. They're intertwined. They're not separate. They're intertwined.
Amen.
and it's evidence of what we believe. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, I definitely would say, you know, you can't have one without the other. You know, salvation, it'll be, even if you just say, okay, I'm just going to be saved, it still costs something. You still have to give up the old life. You know, repentance is not a thing where you stay in the same condition. It's in a place where you move from the condition that you are and be rehabilitated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the love of God and the truth of God will be on the inside of us by how we live. So it's just, you know, how we live is the evidence of our salvation and repentance. It's the evidence. I mean, you know, if I want to be saved, I don't go to the same places and areas that I used to dwell. So I'm saved from those areas and those places. And through Jesus Christ and through his grace and mercy, that we still are here and that he still keeps us. So that's what I say about that. You can't have one without the other. God is a keeper, and he is the one who is able to keep us from falling. You know, in every area of our life, he's the one that we need to yield to and be grounded into. So I would encourage every brother, every person listening to draw closer to Jesus Christ, whatever it is that we may be going through, even if it's spiritual confusion, we can draw closer to Jesus Christ and then cry out to him. If there's, you know, temptations or sins in our life that we haven't repented of, you know, ask him to remove it, ask him to show you your ways and expose it to the point where he will be glorified of delivering us from it. So I encourage every brother out there, you know, draw closer to Jesus Christ and learn about him and his ways and want and have that desire and ask him to give you the desire to do his will. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, in the precious Amen. Name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Father, for life itself. Forgive us for the things that we may take for granted, Father. We know that you are the keeper, you are the provider, Lord God. Father, strengthen our walk in you, Lord God, whoever it may be, Father. We don't want to do this thing and be false out there, Father. We want to, in these times, in these trying times, Lord, we want to be living epistles read and seen among men. So forgive us for the things that we may have done in spirit or in mind, Father, that didn't please you. We ask you to purge us, Lord, and search our hearts and put us on the right path, Lord God. Give us a desire to do your will and to be obedient to your word. Give us a desire to read your word, Lord God. Give us a desire to live out the gospel, Father, and preach the gospel and evangelize, Lord God. Father, we want to be people that you can use and save souls, Lord God. So we thank you, Father, for hearing and answering prayer, Father. You said in your word, if we ask anything, Father, according to your will, that you will do it. So we know that salvation is in your will, Father. We save somebody all over the world, Lord God, drawn by your spirit. And we rebuke the enemy, Father, that may be put in a seed of doubt, Father, in current believers. But we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your mercy, Father. The word says that you risk your mercy, so we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.
Amen, amen. Hold on, brother. We got one brother here I wanted to reach out. I don't take anything for granted. We had a caller who wanted to share before we close. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to this show and all our past shows. They're all archived there. You can go reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. So we just want to encourage the brothers out there. Brother, I can see you. Your last four numbers are 2968. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing tonight?
Excellent. Yeah, question, a comment you wanted to share?
No, I just want to kind of go in with what you were talking about because of the fact of the presence of God in our life, you know, the Shekinah glory, you know, and being illuminated with God's glory, which I've been illuminated with the precious spirit of God, Christ's spirit, and just cut through all the stuff real quick. You come to this point in your life in Christ where you just can't believe it. And everything unto him is holy. It's holy because of who God is. in Christ. And since Christ is in us, we're complete without any lack. So if there's people teaching that would make you feel like there's a lack, that is something that's attacking the truth that's inside of us. So, but a lot of people, many people, including myself, have listened to what man says. And it wasn't like we were trying to. It's just that when man talks, he uses the word of God. And how he does it is that man opens up the word and reads it, right? And the word that comes alive to the person who's reading it, we all make this mistake. We all do. We don't eat it, okay? What we do is we get excited about it, and we run around, and this is what we do, but God never does this, and we force it on each other. We force love, and you can't force love because God says, now, sweetheart, that's you. And you're thinking, you know, that couldn't be true. Not me. Not me, God. Mm-hmm. But God says, yes, you. And sometimes it takes some people quite a time to figure out that when they're seeing themselves, that's because God loves them and he wants them to acknowledge him in all their ways concerning Christ working in them, through them, and for them. So,
amen.
So, yeah, I mean, you said it right there. I mean, all of God's blessings end with an amen. I'm finished. Thank you.
All right, bro. We appreciate you calling in. And you're absolutely correct, man, and that's where it is. Because we have to be mindful. We have to study the word for ourselves and let the Holy Spirit, you know, teach us and give us discernment and even the things to teach. Because we got to remember, there's been men and false teachers and manipulating the scriptures since the beginning. You know, Paul, Peter, John, they all had to deal with them. But then as men of God, we're called to search the scriptures for ourselves, to be as Bereans. And let the Holy Spirit guide and direct us and pray for discernment and wisdom in those things. And like you said, you know, God, the truth is what's going to set us free. And God is going to make it that a real disciple, a diligent disciple, someone who hungers for him and pursues after him will receive him. Amen. I thank you, bro, for sharing. Thank you for listening and joining us tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You're welcome.
God bless. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.